World Sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Mark Crossley. Coming up, the world awaits as South Africa and Mexico prepare to kick off the 2010 World Cup.
The day, I think, will be a big, long party, yeah? I think the atmosphere's here, everybody's excited, everybody's ready to go. And hopefully the game, hopefully Bafana can pull it off, eh?
The Boston Celtics draw level in the NBA Finals, and we look ahead to the second day of the first test between West Indies and South Africa in Trinidad. The first World Cup on African soil gets underway in around 20 minutes' time with an opening ceremony at the Soccer City Stadium, followed by the first match with the host South Africa taking on Mexico. Our sports news correspondent Gordon Farker has been telling us about what today will mean for the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter.
The FIFA president always talks a lot about his mission. You know, he was elected back in 1998 with a lot of African support because he promised that he was going to support the World Cup coming out of Europe and the Americas for the first time. And, you know, in that respect, he certainly delivered, first, of course, to Asia in 2002 in Japan and Korea, and now here in South Africa. You know, we've heard what he said. He says he feels vindicated and he knows it's not been an easy path to get here. Irvin Kosa, who's the chairman of the organising committee, were talking with real passion about this yesterday, about the sceptics who said it couldn't happen, and about how he hoped this would get rid of the stereotypical view of Africa being worn out and hungry and cash-strapped and being replaced with another vision, a more positive view of health and wealth and happiness. So, you know, selling Africa to the world is what this is all about.
Our reporter Chris Mitchell's been catching up with the fans in Nelson Mandela Square in Johannesburg.
So here we are in Nelson Mandela Square, and the fans are gathering ahead of the big match later on. Let's talk to some of them, see how they're feeling just hours before kickoff. What were your hopes and expectations, sir, of the match today?
We're hoping and expecting Bafana to win. But more especially, I haven't seen this sort of unity in this country in my 38 years of existence. I mean, it's awesome. People have lost all our differences, and we're flying our flag and the colours proudly. For the last 2 months, I haven't seen anything like this. I don't think so anyone has seen this. This is like a godsend.
Very excited.
What sort of things have you been doing that you wouldn't ordinarily have done?
Blowing a vuvuzela.
A mini vuvuzela. Let's hear it.
We're from Mexico.
Wow, big game. You are kind of like, in terms of support, massive underdogs. But there are a lot of you here. How many supporters do you think will be at the stadium today?
I think we are going to be like 20,000 people in this stadium. We are going to make so much noise. So the Bafana Bafana is going to say, oh my God, 20,000 people, Mexican people, they're going to be crying after game.
Good luck. Thank you very much for joining us on BBC World Service.
The day, I think, will be a big, long party, yeah? I think the atmosphere's here, everybody's excited, everybody's ready to go. And hopefully the game, hopefully Bafana can pull it off, eh?
To be honest, I'm just generally proud of South Africa and how together we've all become. But I do think we'll win today. I have faith.
You have faith? Well, let's hope the boys feel the faith and do the business. Thank you very much indeed to you guys. So here in Nelson Mandela Square, everyone's mixing, everyone's happy, and everyone's looking forward to a fantastic game, a fantastic 90 minutes. They just can't agree on who they think will win.
So the first match of the tournament following on from the opening ceremony will feature the host South Africa taking on Mexico at the Soccer City Stadium. South Africa's coach Carlos Alberto Pereira acknowledges there'll be a lot of pressure on his players going into the match, but he doesn't believe they'll be overawed by the occasion.
The opening game is always a very difficult game. It's a lot of pressure. It's intimidating for both teams. The whole world are watching you. So we want the boys to have fun. We want to enjoy the game. I know it's not easy to enjoy the game when we play a team so good as Mexico. They are the most daring team in this World Cup, the way they approach the game. But we respect them. We're not afraid. And the good things about Bafana Bafana now, we really can say this team has an identity. We are confident and we want to deliver. We want to make this country proud.
The second game in Group A takes place at the Greenpoint Stadium in Cape Town, where the top seeds France take on Uruguay. From Cape Town, the BBC's Richard Fleming.
France have underperformed since reaching the final of the 2006 World Cup and needed Thierry Henry's now infamous handball to qualify for this one. Throw in their early exit from the 2008 European Championship, and it's easy to see why critics claim unpopular coach Ramon Domenech has failed to get the best out of his talented squad. Domenech stressed that if we play as a collective force, then we could do well, a clear reference to his plea in April for egos to be put aside for the good of the team. Uruguay were the last nation to clinch their place in South Africa after struggling to a playoff victory over Costa Rica. But there's no doubt Oscar Tabarez's side have the potential to be one of the surprise packages. Strikers Diego Forlan and Luis Suarez hit nearly 80 goals between them this season, and the pair will relish the opportunity to test a French side which appears to be in some disarray.
Well, France underperformed in qualifying and lost 1-0 to China in their final warm-up match. But winger Sidney Govou has asked the French supporters to keep faith with the side.
You should pay attention to the 23 players that form our squad. You should pay attention to those amazing talents. Look at the huge experience of each player. Our public should and must have confidence in their team. There is great quality all over the pitch. All those elements are making a great team. I just hope that the team's way of playing will work on the pitch. We need to quickly find our way as a squad.
To basketball, and the Boston Celtics rallied from 8 points down in the fourth quarter to beat the LA Lakers 96 points to 89 to level the best of seven NBA final series at 2-2. Glenn Davis came off the bench to score 18 points for Boston, half of which came in the last quarter. Kobe Bryant scored 33 for the Lakers. Watching for the BBC was Todd Ant.
The fourth meeting between these two teams was a game of wills. Who wanted it more? In the final period, the Celtics bench players capped off a run when Rasheed Wallace hit a three-point shot to put them up by 9 points with 6 minutes left. And with less than 4 minutes to go, Boston went up by 11 and held on for the 96-89 victory in front of their home fans. The storyline for Game 4 was simply the Celtics bench. At one point, Coach Doc Rivers was about to bring in the starters when he realized the second stringers were getting the job done, led by Glenn Big Baby Davis, who energized his team and the crowd with 18 points. The Celtics bench outscored the Lakers bench 36-18, and Los Angeles was out-rebounded on both ends of the floor. The series is tied at 2 games each, with Game 5 Sunday in Boston.
South Africa's cricketers will resume on 70 for 3 when Day 2 of the first test against West Indies resumes later in Trinidad. Looking ahead for the BBC, Sean Devers.
After their 5-0 victory in the ODI series and 14 wins and 3 defeats against the West Indies in 22 test matches, South Africa began this series as favourite. But after the rain shortened opening day of the first test on a Trinidad pitch already providing prodigious turn, the visitors have their work cut out as they hunt their third consecutive win on this ground. On recent form, just avoiding defeat will be a moral victory for the West Indies without their three leading bowlers, Edwards, Taylor and Roach. However, rain, which is again forecast for the second day, and incisive spin bowling from debutant Shane Chillingford and Solomon Benn, have dented South Africa's victory hopes. At 74-3, two of their top batsmen are already gone, and much will depend on Jack Kallis if the tourists are to pose a challenge in total. The West Indies spinners are enjoying the surface, and with Gale, Chanderpaul and Nash all capable of batting for long periods, and more rain expected, a South Africa win now depends on how well they bat on day two in conditions not conducive to quick scoring.
Some of the world's top athletes were in action in the Diamond League meeting in Rome on Thursday. Amongst the athletes, the highlights, Asafa Powell posted the fastest time of the year so far to win the 100 metres in 9.82 seconds. Jamaica's Olympic and world champion Shelly-Ann Fraser was disqualified for a false start in the women's 100 metres, with the American LaShontia Moore eventually winning the race. Elsewhere, Blanka Vlasic won the women's high jump, and world record holder Dayron Robles cruised to victory in the 110 metres hurdles. To rugby, and the Australian inside centre Matt Gito has pulled out of Saturday's first test against England in Perth because of a hip injury. He's been replaced by Berrick Barnes. Before we go, a reminder that the first World Cup on African soil gets underway in a few minutes' time with an opening ceremony at the Soccer City Stadium in Johannesburg, followed by the first match, South Africa taking on Mexico. And that's the latest world sport from the BBC.